That's a new song to us, I think, isn't it? We're going to have to do that again. Let's do that soon. Thank you. Thank you to Leslie and Dan. I think everybody's starting to get to know Leslie and Dan. And don't be afraid to just appreciate the whole worship team this morning for preparing and helping us to get into worship. Now, you know, with kickoff Sundays, they're always fun because we're actually starting some things, or maybe they've gone through the summer, but we're getting fresh start in the season. And we've got some tremendous ministries that are going throughout the year, and I just thought, you probably know who's leading them, and you probably know what they're doing, but it never hurts to really talk about them one more time. So we have in our ministries portfolio small group ministries. If you are involved in a small group ministry, put your hand up. All right. If you are leading a small group ministry, put your hand up. If you are a leader, there we go. Okay, everyone who put your hand up, come up front. Everybody put your hand up for being a leader of a small group. Come on up. Robert, that's you too, man. Don't be chicken. Look at that. Great. Have a seat. Have a stand. Have a stand here. All right. Robert, tell me about your small group. When does it meet and who's involved with it? Just a second. We'll get this mic on. There you go.
Our small group meet every other Friday.
Okay.
And the major is Mandarin speaking people.
Okay.
Sometime, and it's good for us. And the location is in my house, located in the Ellesmere and the pharmacy.
Excellent. So it's in Mandarin.
In Mandarin.
Okay. So if you do not know how to speak Mandarin, that may be a little difficult. But for those who are maybe have a Mandarin-speaking friend and you want to be a blessing to them, say, hey, we have a Bible study, and it's in your language. Robert and Beth have been doing that for a while. Okay, Robert, you can sit down now. Okay, you two, you three. These guys are characters. We all know them, right? So who's going to talk about your group?
I'll talk about Dave and I, and Dennis can talk about it.
That's right. Dennis, you've got your own group too, yeah.
Yeah, Dave and I lead a small group on a Friday night. We meet about 7:30, and we study between 8 and 9. And it's open to everyone, often people who first come to the church and want to join a small group. We're open to many, so we don't have a lot of structure in there. We talk. Sometimes we study a book of the Bible. The last few months, we studied what does the Bible say about money, about relationships. So the Bible says a lot of things about our lives, and it helps us, teaches. It's our user manual. So
yeah.
It's a great book to study, and we often get off on tangents, but that's okay. And we enjoy time together, and we have fellowship. After the study, sometimes we don't get out of here till 10 o'clock sometimes, but we ask people who join to commit for that 1 hour on a Friday night between 8 and 9, and that's the main study time.
Awesome. And you guys lead this group together.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. You can sit down. It's getting thinner up here. Steve, are you still here, or has he gone down? He's gone down. Okay. Dennis.
I do a Monday night, 7 o'clock sharp.
Sharp.
Sharp. We start, I do an inductive Bible study where we teach God's love book to you.
Ah.
So we teach the book of God. We started in the book of John, which is, I think, the truest chapters in the Bible as to Jesus' love for you. So we just want you to know that God loves you and Jesus is his Savior.
Okay.
That he's the way. So if you'd like to join us, it's on Monday night. It's for the summertime only. And in the fall when I leave, I ask my class if they'd like to join Mike and Dave's class.
Okay.
And they keep you going till I come back in the spring.
All right. I thought maybe we would meet with you in Florida during the winter. We could all go down for a little visit. All right. Thank you. All right. Steve, I know you got stuff to do downstairs, so come on up here. So
Steve, of course, you know Steve. He's been around a couple years. Steve does a lot of stuff. Right now, he's boiling water. He's very, very talented. Yes. Now,
Steve, we're managing a new transition in youth ministry. Steve, can you give us a one-minute outline of what's going to happen over the next couple months?
1 minute.
I'm timing.
Does that start now?
That starts.
As you know, unfortunately, Zach and Amber just felt the Lord was leading them to another ministry, so we are going to be starting a search for a new youth pastor. Between now and probably January, February, when we hope to maybe have a new youth pastor, we are going to be meeting every other week, either at the church or at some of the youth parents' house, doing events. We're going to plan in early October, we're going to have a planning meeting where we're going to have the youth involved as well. Tell us what you want to do, what are some fun events that you guys want to do, and we'll plan those 3 to 4 months at that time. We're also going to utilize other people within the church to do the speaking on topics, do the Bible studies. So that's going to be taking us at least forward to at least January, and then if we haven't found anybody at that point, then we'll continue on and then plan some more. And we still have the youth ministry that's going on in Sunday school during the service, so we have the same leaders that are doing that. So your kids are definitely cared for. We're praying for them, and we're just looking forward to how the Lord wants to lead going forward.
Excellent.
And your corn's cooking, so it's all good.
He's a chief cook and bottle washer. Oh, one thing maybe you should mention, Steve and I are working together on renewing and refreshing and servicing our small groups. If you're interested in any of these small groups, you can talk to the leaders directly. But if you have some ideas, maybe you want to start a small group in your home, why don't you talk to Steve?
Sure.
Or myself. We'd love to start a couple new small groups as well. Sound good?
You have any ideas, of what you want to do? If you think there's some kind of small group that's missing, then definitely let us know and we'll look into that for sure.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Back to the kitchen, young man. All right. And not least, or last but least, we have one more after you guys, so Kathy.
So Jane and I lead the Tuesday nights ladies groups at the church. It's supposed to be 7 sharp, but it's 7-ish.
Ish. that
so
hour.
We're a bunch of ladies that love God, and we study together and worship together and serve together. During Christmas, we have a project. This year, we'll be doing gift bags, but probably for a new place called Juliet Place, but more details will be coming on that. We study books of the Bible. We study different books by Beth Moore and other authors. We just started 12 Extraordinary Women.
Okay. 12 Extraordinary Women. Are they in our group right here? No. You bet they are.
So we're open to anyone. You're welcome to come join us. Come check us out Tuesday, 7-ish, upstairs. We don't bite. We have lots of snacks.
Oh, lots of snacks. All right. Did you hear that, guys? They have lots of snacks. That's the way to do it. For ladies only. Okay, that part. All right. Thanks. You guys may be seated. Thank you. And Kathy, one more.
So this year, for the year, there's another ladies group that will be meeting on a Wednesday night, but only 4 times during the year, maybe even 5 times, and they will be meeting at my home. One of my deepest concerns about church in general, capital C church, is we are so busy. Now, women, do you ever feel so busy that you're stressed and you're overwhelmed and you're distracted? And so what happens is that our personal relationship with Jesus, our personal devotional life, gets pushed out to the side. And so this is a little bit different than maybe a small group that happens every week or every second week. This is a mentoring group for a whole year. And if you are a lady here, whether you are a teenager, I don't see any teenagers here, maybe some of us would like to claim we are, but if you're a teenager or a woman at any age, and you would like to grow in your devotional life, if you would like to learn how in this urban society in Toronto, where everything's so crazy and distracting and stressful, how do I live and walk with God? It says, therefore, in Colossians 2, verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ as your Savior, so walk in him. And the walking is, sometimes we do that on Sundays, but the walking is every day. And the hardest thing about being a Christian is the daily walk. And so we're going to be talking about that daily walk. Not only will we be meeting four times, but we're going to be using some technology that helps us to stay connected.
The internet.
Learning.
That interweb thing.
That
yes.
interweb thing.
Excellent.
And some really great tools that we can use on the internet to stay connected almost on a daily basis.
All
and
right.
And I got to go because I could talk all day.
Yes,
but
you do.
Anyways, here's the thing. If you are interested in that and interested in a mentoring group, please come and see me and we will get the details out to you and we'll just keep working on it from there.
Excellent. Thank you, sweetheart. How do you tell your wife, you know, it's time? It's time.
You just tell me.
Good, good. Well, those are some of the things that are happening. Oh, this thing is heavy. Every. I didn't see all that stuff up there, you know.
I'm afraid of losing picks.
How many picks do you need to play a guitar?
I have about 8.
Now watch him. He's stealing your picks. All right. I'm going to put everything here. I thought the platform was way too full for me to be up there, so I just easily pull this very light stand down. It's very light, isn't it? You notice? So I'm just not very strong, that's why. You know, today I want you to turn in Acts chapter 4, because we're starting off a new season of ministry, and, you know, it's really important that we get the right perspective on who we are and what we should be and what we should do. And I want you to know that last year, Kickoff Sunday, I gave you a grand vision plan of some things that within the vision of meeting this community and their needs and the world around us, some things that we need to do. And it's really important that you know that I want to talk today about the difference between the balance between doing and being. But just so you know, remember, just to remind you, we're talking about having a greater visibility in the community, and Jack Huang and I are working on that, and we're going to develop better and more a greater process as we welcome people into the building and integrate them into the ministry so that they feel welcome. Dave and I, we're going to start chatting about that, and we're going to develop some plan to protect some more stuff with our kids as they come in so new families can feel really comfortable leaving their children downstairs. And we're going to develop that. Ryan is working on that. We're going to continue to develop our worship, and I hope you've noticed over the year things are moving along. Elaine and Jane have given great leadership in the worship, and we're going to work together to continue to develop our Sunday morning worship. Robert and I are going to work on spiritual gifts. We're going to try to move in this year to find a spot where for a couple weeks we can preach about what spiritual gifts are and why they're so important, and do you know your spiritual gifts? So that's coming. As you heard, small groups, we're developing small groups. We really want our church to be a church of small groups, not just with them. The small groups are the heart and the life of the church. You get to know people intimately in small groups and over many, many years, and you become family, truly family in these small groups. And when I remember when I was in another church, one of my first church, the pastor got a little upset because he couldn't get to a hospital visit first because all the small group got there first. And in essence, he said, that's the way it should be. The small group really becomes a caring, loving group. And lastly, Bruce Nethercott and I are working on sort of refreshing our missions. We're going to this year hopefully do some things. We're going to make sure that people understand that that map of the world is just a pretty map, but it represents our heartbeat that God has given us to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, our world here and the world around us. And so this corner, we might start to see some missions things. And here's something Dave and I are trying to figure out. We'd like to do something new and fresh with not flags, but at least the flags of the world. Maybe some kind of artistic stuff on the wall. I don't know. But we want to do something that revitalizes our concept where the flags become a real meaningful thing again. So help us with being creative, and that'll be great. we'll do that. So those are some of the things that we are continuing to work on. And we talked about 2015, 2016 as being the season of trying to get some of these new things refreshed. But we are also wanting to be careful that tasks don't overweigh who we are in Christ. So I want to take you to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 13 and following. Acts 4, 13, and we'll maybe go to verse 22. Let me just give you a little bit of a heads up here. Here's Peter and John, Acts chapter 4. They have just in Acts chapter 3 healed a lame man. So the man who's in probably his 40s, they figure. And so he was on the ground begging for money, wouldn't even look up at them as he begged because, of course, of his shame. And then what does Peter and John say in chapter 3? They said, look at us. Look at me. And he says, we don't have money to offer you, but we do have something for you. Stand up, rise up, and be healed in the name of Jesus. And we all know what happened, don't we? The man, as he rises up, his ankles and his legs, which after years of not being able to work, and he stands and he rejoices, and he's excited that he has been healed in the name of Jesus. So this is where we find Peter and John. They've been put in prison for preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. Verse 13, where are we? There we are. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the leaders, the supposed spiritual leaders, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I have to read that again. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Listen to their answer. Response. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. I love that. It caught my attention. They had been with Jesus. We know their story. We've read the Gospels, many of us. And if you haven't read the Gospel, they've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. They'd been with him through thick and thin. They'd been with the very Son of God. And Jesus told them very clearly that anyone who had seen him has seen the Father. John 14 tells us that. And in other words, Jesus absolutely and perfectly represented his Father to those disciples. And so in a very, very real sense, they had been with God for 3.5 years. Think about it. They had been with God for 3.5 years. And in those years with God, Jesus, they had seen the impossible become possible over and over and over again. They had been with Jesus. And so Peter and John, these awesome disciples, or now apostles, found themselves in many difficult situations, feeling and facing threats and opposition. And the one thing that kept them going was the fact that they had been with Jesus. And now, in this situation, like many others, Jesus was definitely with them. This is the word for us today for certain. Even though we are not able to see Jesus physically in the same way that the disciples did, the main truth for us is this: if we will spend time with Jesus, we can go boldly and do his will, facing anything that comes our way. And so this year, as we serve God and as we do things for God and for his glory, which we might even look at as simple tasks, you know, setting up small groups, putting together plans for helping people get to be a better part of our church family and children's ministry. As we do those tasks, it is more important that we have been with Jesus than we do the tasks for Jesus. You know, Mary and Martha, you know, one of them goes out and sits at Jesus' feet, and the other one's in the kitchen. You know, we don't want to pick on anybody, but one wanted to be with Jesus in his presence. That's what we know, at least at this time. We know that she wanted to be with Jesus. And too many of us get excited about doing things and not being. And I want to encourage us this year that being with Jesus is far more important than doing for Jesus. The doing for Jesus comes out in a much better way and a more powerful way when we have been with Jesus. So the question you're asking, I hope, in your head is, how do we be with Jesus? How can we be with Jesus when we literally are 2 millennia away from his physical presence? Well, we know that in Acts chapter 2, Jesus' promise came true. He said to the disciples that he was going to be, he's going to leave. But he is not going to leave us as Christians without his presence, without God in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit, when a believer, when a person comes to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit, God himself, indwells every believer. And so we are with Jesus, or he is with us, by the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So we know that he's with us, but how do we really intentionally, intelligently spend time being with Jesus? And how will that really help us, ultimately, being with Jesus? Well, I think the first thing we notice here, being with Jesus gives us courage, gives us boldness, gives us courage. Look at verse 13 of Acts 4. It says, now when they saw the boldness, or maybe in your version, the courage of Peter and John. By the way, the word boldness there in the original language is courage in activity. Yes, in what they were doing, they felt boldness and courage. But it has another bent to it, a very strong bent, that it is a courage that is honest and straightforward in one's attitudes and speech. So it's not just in boldness in doing something, it is a boldness in who we are, in our attitudes and our speech. So Peter and John had spent so much time with Jesus. They'd seen the miracles. They knew Jesus' authority. And he actually said to them, to the apostles, you'll do far greater things than even I have shown you. And so we go, oh, that's what we want. That's what we want as a church. We know that in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus meets them on that that hilltop. And he gives them a very a general command that they should do something. And it's like, I almost think of it as Mission Impossible. If some of you young people have ever watched a Mission Impossible movie, the main character, a spy, a secret agent, often goes to a device, weird ways of getting messages given to him. And the first part of the message says, it says, Mr. Hunt, it says, should you choose to accept this assignment? In other words, he has the option, and the assignments he usually got were crazy, this fictitious character. Well, the assignment that we have been given isn't crazy. It's awesome. And yet God is still saying, should you choose to accept this assignment? And the assignment is to go out to baptize people in the name of Jesus and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and to teach them to observe all things that are honoring to God, and to help them to get out and do the will of God, to teach them everything that Jesus had commanded. And that's what God is saying to us today as a church. I've got an assignment for you. I've got tasks for you to do, but you cannot do those tasks with great power and authority unless you spend time with Jesus. He also gives them a very particular, that's a general. In another passage in Matthew 10, he says, and as you go and you preach and you teach and you share your faith, he says, say this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. In other words, I've got a few things for you to do very specifically. One is tell people that the kingdom of God is at hand. God has a kingdom, and he wants you to be a part of it. That's our message. But you can't, I cannot do that with a power and authority that's going to see God work unless I've been with Jesus. How's that going to happen? We have not had the opportunity the disciples had to hang out with Jesus personally. Wouldn't that be awesome just to hang out with Jesus? That would be so cool. And look in his face and see the love that he has for us. To hang out with him and know that he's gonna die for me. Or now hang out with him even now and know that he did die for me. He paid the price for my sin. To just hang with Jesus would be so cool. But we don't get to do that physically. We get to do that in other ways. What are the ways that we can be with Jesus? I think you know them, don't you? I'm going to tell you a few, and they're going to reiterate, I'm sure, what you know. But the question is, are you doing them? Because too often we know what good things we should do, but we don't do them. And I think it's a matter of understanding, do I really, really love Jesus? Do I really prioritize my life to show him I love him and to be with him? The first one, of course, we can walk with Jesus, be with Jesus by reading the Gospels. The very first place, and Dennis was so right, the Gospel of John. All the Gospels, all the Scriptures are equal in power and authority. But even reading the Gospel of John and studying it, you get to see Jesus in all his glory as the King of Kings, as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world. So if you're trying to figure out where in the Scriptures to spend time being with Jesus, maybe the Gospel of John might be a good refresher right this week and slowly go through it. Be with Jesus in his word. I don't know what your life is all about, but I do know one thing for sure. You're busy. Whether you're in your occupation or you're retired from an occupation, I know, and believe me, I understand, your lives are busy. But you can't live your life for Christ without being with Jesus. You can't. You live a shallow and powerless life for Christ if you aren't being with Jesus. And it begins by being in his word. So I'm going to say something, folks, and it may sound harsh and pointed, like I think I know better than anyone else. But if you aren't spending some time every day in God's word, you are missing out on being with Jesus. And I can tell you, God is disappointed. That may be the hard part right there. God is disappointed with us when we haven't spent time in his love letter. When we haven't spent 15 or 20 minutes looking, at least that. Can you carve out 15 or 20 minutes? I know moms they're crazy busy, aren't they? The kids don't give you much time. I know that. People are always calling saying, can I get some help? Can I do this? The boss is saying, you got to get in here early or you got to stay late. But I'm going to encourage you. You got to spend time being with Jesus in his word. We can spend time with him, be with Jesus through prayer. How many of us, if we were honest, would put our hands up right now and say, this week, I probably didn't pray once? I know that that happens because I've done it. And I'm a pastor for 20 years. And I know that there have been times in my week that have been so busy doing for Jesus that I forgot to be with him in prayer. And I look back and oh man. Now, I want to let you know, that was in my younger days when I was just coming in and life was... Now, I can't do ministry. I can't love people. I can't even love my own family and myself properly unless I spend time being with Jesus in prayer. It is the engine room of my life. And this movie that I talk about today, it's all about prayer. This is the engine room. This is the boiler room. This is the furnace of our lives, to be with Jesus in his word, to be with Jesus talking to him in conversation. By the way, conversation is two-way. Right now I'm preaching, but a conversation is where, Dave, you talk to me, I talk to you, and we learn and we find out what we're find out about each other. When we are in conversation with God, we are being with Jesus, so it has to be prayer and the word. That's a conversation with God. We can be with Jesus through praise and worship. This morning I was touched, I was blessed as we were led in worship. I really sensed the presence of God. I heard him speak to me. Do you think that has to happen just on Sunday morning? No. As a matter of fact, the people of God, especially in the Old Testament examples, you find them preparing for worship throughout the week. They bring their already prepared worship to the worship gathering. So you're going to have to figure out, like I have over time, how do I worship by myself? You might think that's a lonely proposition, to worship by yourself. But I bet you some of you have some great ideas how to worship God. I'm going to give you one thought this week. I want you this week to spend 5 minutes with God and worship him by telling him all the things you know of his grace and of his character, grace being one. But spend 5 minutes and see how long you can go by telling God, telling him that you know about him, and here are the things that you know and you worship him for. That's a worship time with God. And I know right now you're thinking of all the things you might say to God. Well, that's great. Worship God, worshiping God begins on Monday, and although Sunday's the beginning of the week, it ends up on Sunday with everybody coming together. And if you've worshiped God and been with Jesus in that way through the week, I will tell you, this church will be transformed in our worship. It will be like, what happened? What's going on here? And it will be exciting. So being with Jesus, many things we can do to be with Jesus. Don't forget this. Being with Jesus, what I'm talking about is an intentional endeavor on our parts. But the fact is, Jesus never leaves you. He's never out of your life. No matter what you're doing, Jesus is always with you. And so that means maybe you've helped somebody that week and Jesus has been with you, whether you sort of recognize it or not. Maybe you're in doing some blatant sin. Guess what? Jesus is right there. Some horrible sin that maybe you've struggled with, and you think, I'm on my own on this thing. Jesus is with you. He's right there in the midst of your struggle, and he says, I'm here, I'll help you. Be with me. So don't forget, Jesus is always with us. So let's come back to the idea of courage. If we are with Jesus and have been with him deeply, we will have that boldness. And it will begin internally with that attitude, with the mindset that we should have. And we will be like Joshua, who in Joshua 1:9 says, God told Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Being with Jesus will give us that boldness, that courage. Being with Jesus will also prepare us for the extraordinary. Do you want to live extraordinary lives? I want you to think about that today. Dream a little bit about if you were with being with Jesus in such a deep and intimate way, what would you want Jesus to do with your life? What would that look like in 5 or 10 years? If you really started to be with Jesus, living an extraordinary life. I want to exchange the ordinary for extraordinary. How about you? I want to live a life that each week you know that Alan Buttrin is so much being with Jesus that you can see it in what God is letting him be a part of. And I have that prayer for you as well. So being with Jesus prepares us for the extraordinary. And the extraordinary in this case for them was obviously healing that lame man. Now they're in front of these people having to stand up and speak. And then being with Jesus teaches us to obey God. Being with Jesus teaches us to obey. It says they have these men say, no more preaching and teaching in this name of Jesus. No more doing this, these healings. And in verse 19, they say, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. Are we going to obey you or God? You judge on what we should do here. They got to a place that they've been so much with Jesus that they didn't care about anybody else except what was right in God's sight. And that's what I want. What is right when times are tough and I have to stand and speak for God? All I want to be able to do is I want to speak for God because that's the right thing. And those times may come harder and faster than we even imagine. Jesus, in Philippians 2, we understand that Jesus obediently sacrificed himself to death, even the death of a cross. And the cross was the worst and most hideous way you could die in that time, the most shameful death, and Jesus obediently did that. He gave us an example of what obedience could mean, even death. Being with Jesus will help us to be obedient. And maybe this week it'd be a good thing to do, say, Lord, where have I not been obedient? I think we all know there are places that we have not been obedient. We want to be obedient. I want to give you the last thing here before we go out and we have some fun. Being with Jesus gives us something to say. And my wife, she's not in the room so I can talk about her. My wife says it so clearly. She says, I don't have anything to say in my ministry of teaching and speaking to ladies unless I spend a lot of time with Jesus. And I watched her. I see her as an example. And I'm not holding up her. I could probably talk about several of the ladies in this room right now. But what she taught me was very practical. The scriptures teach it, but she taught it to me practically. That she has no new message, no fresh teaching, no fresh excitement about her walk with Christ unless she spends time, lots of time, being with Jesus. If you believe that's true, say amen. Amen. I believe you. I believe you understand that. And so therefore, we as a church don't have much to say to the people around us about Jesus unless we really spend time with him. Unless you commit, you commit as individuals to say, I'm going to spend a little time, at least a little time, every day with Jesus. Then you're going to have the fuel for the fire. And you know what? That begins with elders, doesn't it, Dave? We are the leaders that have to show you what it means to be with Jesus. Because everything flows from the top down. That's just truth. Jesus is our top. Then your leaders around you are tops. And you become the next level. I tell you right now, I am excited about this year because I think the message that I'm sharing with you today is resonating with you. I believe you agree with this message. And I believe that you're going to take time this week to say, I'm going to intelligently and thoughtfully spend more time with my Jesus. And here's the last thing that you need to just think about, I think, for this. Why do we spend more time with Jesus? Because he loves us and we love him. There's scripture that talks about that if you truly love me, Jesus says, you will obey my word. And the other scripture that I always think about is this one. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 7. We can talk a good talk. We can say, I love Jesus. I really love him. He's my all in all. And somewhere in your heart, that's true, and you believe that. But if we are not obediently, faithfully spending time with him, and then out of that, serving him obediently, we really aren't showing that love. And I am worried about a church, a global church now. I'm thinking globally. How many are going to churches that one day will stand before the King of Kings and he will say, I never knew you. They talked a good talk, but they never had a transforming moment in their life by trusting Christ as Savior and didn't live a life that came out of that being transformed day by day. It was all about a good talk. I think our church is we're not just about talking it out. We're about living it out. We want to be those who are being with Jesus regularly. God bless you as you be with Jesus. You're not alone. There are others here who want to be with Jesus too. If you're struggling with this in any way, hey, talk to me. Talk to our elders. Talk to anyone who you know that you sense is really one who is being with Jesus in a regular way. And you too can have an extraordinary life. No, not ordinary, but extraordinary life in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day and thank you for the privilege of serving you. I just love the fact that you let us serve you so faithfully. So many opportunities. Our prayer is that today, as we move out into this new fresh week, that we will have been encouraged to be with Jesus more regularly and faithfully. So thank you that we can do that in the various ways and other ways. God, help us as a church. In Jesus' name. Amen.